Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't always cover UFO stories from Alaska, but when we do, they most certainly involve wine. This is Hysteria 51.
You meant bot booze. It's okay. I forgive you.
I didn't mean bot booze. I don't want to kill anyone. However, I will say I am enjoying a cocktail, throwing it back to the old school.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What's in your drink? What's it? We have those unused promos that we had made. What you got in that glass?
Here, insert it right here.
What you drinking on? We having fun tonight. Yeah, what you sipping on? I need some drink in my life. So tell me what's up in your cup. What's up in your cup? So tell me what's up in your cup. What's up in your cup?
And that's why we don't use it.
That was amazing. I don't know why we don't use that. And for the record, I am really kicking it old school. Guess what I'm drinking, Brent?
An old fashioned.
No, older school. Vodka and Monster Rehab.
Older school. Mead. Vodka and Monster Rehab. Did you have a bad night last night?
No, I just wanted to get a little energy going. Also wanted to have a cocktail. Obviously, you're not listening to this at the same moment that we are recording, but this evening is the first night of the NFL draft. I'm a big NFL fan, so I'm going to have a few cocktails this evening. Figured I'd start it off before the draft. But let me get back to the point at hand. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I'm your host, John Goforth, and sitting virtually across from me, 30 miles away, is the, the Kenny Blankenship to my Vic Romano. My co-host, Mr. Brent Hand.
You know, I was with you till then, and I don't even begin to understand that reference, John.
Wait, you don't? Didn't you ever watch MXC? It stood for, Most Extreme
Elimination Challenge or something like that.
Yeah, that was it. Like 15 years ago, Spike TV, which I miss. Listeners, if you don't know, Spike TV redubbed a Japanese game show, and it was fucking hilarious.
They're dressed like off-duty samurai.
Oh, and they would...
So yeah, the Kenny Blankenship and Vic Romano threw me off there.
those were the two supposed hosts' names. It was funny when they would describe what they're seeing on screen. They would say, "Oh, and here's Joan Salon. She is a salon worker from Saskatchewan, and she says she likes long walks on the beach."
Yeah.
Who knew? Like they gave them fake names and fake jobs, and it was much funnier than what I just made up. But
He's like, "Vic, we got Jack Puller here. He's a bowl milker from Walla Walla, Washington, and I don't think that there's a lot of future in that." You know, and it's just stupid stuff, and it was always like quasi dirty or
it's great. And it was absurd, but like oddly mesmerizing. And the great part about it was like in the spirit of the original show. The original show was not intended to be serious.
Oh no, the original show was making fun of those people too, and they were there for that. And they would wear weird things and be like,
fall.
You know, they all fallen and doing stupid voices.
And falling again. let's actually, you know what, Brent? Let's play him a clip.
Smoking.
And this spirited young fellow is Avanche, much sought after fashion photographer.
Oh, he got bucked early.
Yes, he did, Ken. Actually, that didn't count. We're going to let him get back up there. You know, models love this guy. He is known for his unrelenting positive attitude and his fanny pack full of amyl nitrate.
Uh-oh.
There he goes.
Uh-oh, he's going down.
I don't think he's going down, Ken. He's going into that little used side saddle ride.
Oh, something's bothering him, I think.
He learned that at a photo shoot at an Indian gaming casino, and it didn't work for him here. He is bucked up, like you said.
Oh, and he takes a full load from Herbie. He doesn't know whether to scream or smile.
That encapsulates it perfectly.
The original Japanese version was called Takeshi's Castle. I like to think I helped start Takeshi's career.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That other voice you're hearing is the third host of this show and the only one drunk enough to believe he launched an early 90s Japanese game show. He's the one, the only Conspiracy Bot.
Prove I didn't.
Yeah, you know, I built C-Bot in my lab to help write and produce a show, and instead he lies about creating other shows, apparently. C-Bot, you know, you don't even speak Japanese.
I do. I'm just not going to dignify that accusation with a response.
Chai Zumafin. Mata. Fujikok Hirosan no Atsukushi Sakuhin o Totmotanos Hindemesu.
That other robot voice you're hearing and the dulcet tones that he has and also seems to be getting smarter by the minute is Conspiracy Bot's robot creation / minion, and his name is Kyle.
Smarter is, I guess, one way to put that.
Gashujinsama no ni Yuzatsu no mi.
You know, is it a glitch when they do things they aren't supposed to be able to do? Can I get a ruling on that?
Maybe. I don't. More importantly, Brent, everyone, is no one going to make the most obvious reference here? Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto?
That's our phrase.
I am the Mondrian Man. Secret. That's the original studio version. I don't know if you ever heard that one before.
Yeah, thank you. All right, but seriously, Brent. You did watch MXC.
I did. And if you like that vein of silliness, there is a YouTube channel called Djibouti Dubs, and they do all sorts of silly stuff like that. And they do a show on there that's very similar. And it was hosted by the guy who used to, what is his name? He has dark hair, and he has that one little streak of blonde hair in it. John Henson, I think, is his name.
Dark hair, blonde, Vanilla Ice.
What was the show that...
You're talking about The Soup?
The Soup, yeah. He was one of the hosts of The Soup. Thank you very much. Anyway, not The Soup, but it was a very similar to MXC, and they would redub it on there. They have several of those, and it's pretty funny. It's like, oh, Brenda, you bitch. Oh, you did that on purpose. And, you know, because they're couples running it instead of just one person, but they're doing similar obstacles and things like that. Djibouti Dubs. Well,
I haven't checked that out. I will. I really liked Spike TV when it was on.
So it's funny you said that. I was sitting watching Spike TV years ago with Lisa, and there was the, what was it called? Like A Million Ways to Die. Was that the show? Or A Million Horrible Ways to Die or something?
Oh, are you talking about like the documentary about different ways people?
Yeah, it was like a series, you know, and every week was.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
So there's this one, and this guy was on an airplane. He was a heavier set guy, and he gets sucked out of a window. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, that dude looks incredibly familiar, and it just bugged me, you know. I'm like, why? And so I go to IMDb, and he was a kid that went to our school but left in like the third grade, fourth grade, and I was really good friends with him. Ben Dunn was his name. So Ben Dunn, if you're out there,
shout out Ben Dunn. If you're listening,
you on there,
if you're listening, call in. This isn't even a call-in show.
Like a stalker. I'm like, I know him. It was just weird. Like my recessed brain was like, you recognize that face.
So I just pulled up Spike TV just to remind me of any other programming I'm forgetting. Here's something I didn't know. In 2003, they came out with the Ren and Stimpy adult party cartoon. I have to go check that out.
The adult party cartoon.
That's exactly what it's called. I know nothing else other than what I just read to you.
In the background. It's an adult party.
Afro Samurai. They had Afro Samurai. They had Blade the Series, which was short-lived.
Very short-lived. Yep. And not Wesley Snipes.
Oh, gosh. They had a they had a TV version of the Shannara Chronicles. Interesting. And boy, almost all of their shows lasted like a year.
Yeah. They were greenlighting a lot of stuff to just see what stuck, I think.
I miss Spike TV, mostly for MXC. Mm-hmm. There's something else I watched right around.
You know what
MXC,
I also miss
G4 is what I was about to say.
I literally was just going to say that. I loved Attack of the Show. I really,
yeah,
really
me
liked
too.
It. Just a fun, silly, you know, tech news and updates and stuff like that. And I don't know. It was a lot of fun and I was sad to see it go.
No, thank you, Attack of the Show, for Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I was a bigger fan of her until she started, like, I don't know, talking in the real world.
Hey, you cannot.
I'm not objectifying her.
One of my favorite X-Men movies from the series is Apocalypse.
Good God, man.
She's in it.
She's Psylocke. Yeah. Yeah, and she lived.
Wasn't horrible. Let's be honest. She was not horrible.
You can't say let's be honest and follow up with a trash lie like that.
That other guy? I don't know what happened to him. Kevin Pereira.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's not really done much. Well, and you had like towards the end there. Who was the Playboy model that went on there? The blonde. She's actually pretty good though.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah, it was Sarah. Wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't
regardless there were some fun segments and stuff on there and just silliness, and you could see
Sarah Underwood.
Yeah, you could see e-gaming before it was really a caught on thing, so
yeah. I just love, they mean they talked about things that interested me, and
I think that they were maybe a little ahead of their time.
Oh, I completely agree. I think like G4 launches today, it does.
That's what I mean.
Well,
I think they just missed out on a window of, they'd be doing very well right now. You know, everyone could be competing in their esports from home.
E-gaming being the literally the only sports being played in America right now.
Yeah. It's the only, that and bowling are the only ones with someone with my physique can excel at. Except for, you watch these documentaries with these e-gamers and they wake up and run like 6 miles and they're all really skinny and in great shape because it takes so much out of them. So fuck you, e-gamers. Fuck you.
Well, but Brent, you can participate in sports right now if you go to Georgia because they opened the fucking bowling alleys.
Well, it is essential.
It's essential.
You know,
I'm not trying to turn this into a thing. You can debate the merits of this, that, and the other. Specifically how quickly they reopened, but to have bowling alleys of all things.
Well,
on
John,
that list.
I feel silly for you even have to tell you this, but one of the quickest ways to defeat COVID-19 is picking up a 6-7-10 split. That's just,
oh shit!
Everyone knows that, and now you do.
Was that in Dr. Fauci's presser today? I missed it.
It was the underlined. He was getting at it, but you had to read between the lines, kind of thing.
Oh! And you probably had to be plugged into 5G.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah,
I shit my pants, killed three nations, and figured it all out. You know, thank you, 5G. So yeah, speaking of, I don't know.
Well, let's hear this transition. Let's go for it.
Speaking of a random number that's not five. JLL Flight 1628. You don't need transitions. You're just lucky I give them. And you're welcome.
That's Japanese Airlines Flight 1628
but if
for you beginners.
JAL, it sounds like it's some superhero group. JAL Flight. You know, they were the ones that beat the shit out of the West Coast Avengers.
Who
but
couldn't,
this
really?
Is
Let's
literally,
be
though, John, for real, though, this is a very, very interesting UFO sighting event, whatever you want to call it, and it's got some credence to it, and this one really sets it apart from some of the others because of that, and it also is kind of set apart because outside of the realm of people in the know of that world, a lot of people haven't heard of it, and it's also set apart because you're the one who suggested it instead of me.
True, I did. I see a bad moon rising.
No one wants to hear you singing. They want to hear me singing.
Well, I mean, you said it had some credence.
Oh, yeah, well, there we go. Yes. All right, so it's an incident.
Winning.
This is a UFO incident, John.
Yeah. So, this was my suggestion. First, I just enjoyed the fact that we were talking about an airline that didn't disappear. Like literally, we can talk about an airline incident that didn't involve the potential loss of life.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert: no one dies in this one.
There you go.
But I also, it's also really interesting, I think, on a couple of different levels. I think first, the fact that it's multinational. Mm-hmm. So, it's probably in the best way to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I always feel like the Japanese people are better at not sensationalizing things. I feel like in America, we're really guilty of just sensationalizing everything.
Even talking about it, what they do to you from Japan.
Right. And so, instantaneously, because I have that opinion, and of course I'm stereotyping, and of course I'm painting with broad strokes, but because I had that opinion, it had more credence. I see. Okay.
Yeah. I will add to that, too, just a little part of, it does have a lot of other credence to me, too, because you have the military weighing in, you have the FAA weighing in, you have radar and things like that. So it's a fun one. We're going to get into it. So let's break down the incident. So it was on November 17th of 1986. There was a movie back in the day. One of the things I loved to do was just rent random movies. We had a family video and they had the 2-for-1 dollar. You got two movies, mm-hmm. $1, 7 days. And there was one that was just called 1986. And the whole thing, they'd just be like, oh, man, are you cooking dinner? You know, it was like this post-apocalyptic, yeah, I hate cooking since 1986. And every time, it's the stupidest thing, I hear 1986, I think of that god-awful movie. And I have tried through the years to find it, and I can't. So if anyone's got it banging around somewhere, I want it. I'll buy it from you. I'll pay shipping.
Nation, you've been challenged.
So, November 17th, 1986, Japan Airlines flight, like John said, 1628. It's a cargo plane, and it had a cargo of what was it? What was it, John?
Beaujolais wine.
Beaujolais. And it was wine from parents to Narita International Airport, which is near Tokyo.
Important cargo.
That is to all of us, not just you.
Yeah, we would agree with that.
Yeah, as flights often do, they take it in legs because you're traveling a big, long distance. And this part of the journey, which all the stuff that we're going to tell you happened, was a leg that was from Reykjavik, Iceland to Anchorage, Alaska.
That way they can skirt the ice wall and avoid the firmament without anyone growing suspicious.
That tracks.
For me. I actually believe that. Yeah. Brent, there were 3 crew members on board. Huge 747, only 3 crew members.
Yes, it's a cargo plane, so they don't have a bunch of people on it. Yeah, so they just need the people to make it fly.
Now, I'll go ahead and try the names. I'm not great at this, but Captain Kenju Tarashi?
I believe it's Captain Kenju Tarashi. We're trying our best. Go ahead.
Captain K.
Yeah, there you go.
And he was an ex-fighter pilot with more than 10,000 hours.
Now, what did they say? Experience. How many hours is to be an expert at something?
10,000 hours.
So he's an expert at flying with and without people trying to kill you.
He's also someone we're going to go into a bit of a deeper dive.
Yeah. He's an important guy. Yep.
Co-pilot Takanori Temifuji.
Yep.
And then there was the flight engineer Yoshio Tsukuba.
Yoshio Tsukuba. They were flying a Boeing 747-200F cargo plane. So like we said, think about, what was the movie? Castaway. You know, he's on that huge-ass plane, but there's only like 3 of them on there.
Right, and just a bunch of wine.
Yeah, and not a lot of windows. And around 5:11 p.m., I don't know why I said that. It's not like they're not just in the front of the plane, but around 5:11 p.m., this is local time, the plane was straightening out from a turn, and the captain spots something in the air off to the 5 o'clock. And what he saw, and what the others did see too, appeared to them at that time, the others did see this. They said there appeared to be 2 craft or lights that were out there, and they were pacing both their speed and their path. They were about 2,000 feet below the airplane's altitude. They were around 35,000 feet, and these were around 33,000. And they said from there, they looked like they were about the size of the body of a DC-8 jet. So not small, they were larger craft.
Yeah, in fact, Captain K later reported that after initially seeing them, he assumed them to be military aircraft of some type.
Yeah, and you got to figure you're out there in the middle of nowhere. You see that stuff a lot. Then something strange will happen that kind of turn him away from that is they quickly flew ahead of the plane and got much closer, like just pulling out in front of him, cutting him off almost. And the captain described the movement as extremely odd, because if you think about this, they navigate planes away from other planes. Everyone has their right of way, so to speak. So you should never be in the path of other planes if people are doing their jobs correctly.
That's right. And it was also extremely odd because it seemed to not exactly observe the laws of nature. Here's a quote. He went on to say, the thing was flying as if there was no such thing as gravity. It sped up and stopped, then flew at our speed in our direction so that to us, it appeared to be standing still. The next instant, it changed course. In other words, the flying object had overcome gravity.
He should have said the idea of gravity. We don't know if it's true or not, thanks to our flat Earth friends. But
dumb.
This is an important detail, and one that we find in a lot of these reports. The one that it makes it stick out so much is that it is defying gravity. I'm sorry, gravity. It is defying the known laws of physics.
And you know how it does that?
Gravitons. There you go. Manipulation thereof. It's also why the Tic Tac videos are so important. They seem to defy these known laws of physics. That is a telling thing, especially when someone who's been flying for as long as they have, or he has, you kind of know
the
how
Tic Tac videos had the same thing in common that Captain K's report had in common. He also said that throughout their movement, their lights became dazzlingly bright. I have a hard time saying that word, but dazzlingly bright. So much so that he could feel the warmth of the glow.
Yeah, it was almost like he was caught, and this is a bad example, but it's almost like he was caught in the jet wash or something, for lack of a better term.
But none of the adverse effects of being caught in one, like Goose buying the farm.
Yeah. Talk to me, Goose.
Sequel's coming out soon.
Talk
right?
to me, Goose. I mean, who knows with 2020 going the way it is? I would assume so, though, right?
So I was reading an article the other day about Val Kilmer, my hero. Actually, a really interesting article. I didn't know this. He's been battling throat cancer.
Very long time, yeah. He did make an appearance, though, in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. He played Bluntman of Bluntman and Chronic in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the reboot.
It's fun. It's fun. You should watch it. It's kind of a love letter to his fans, but it's a fun one. Back to the story, though. It was at this point our captain thought it might be a good idea to let air traffic control know that they've got some visitors, because shit's going awry and he can feel heat coming off these things that are in front of him.
Anchorage Tower, this is JAL Flight 1628. I just shit my pants. Over.
That checks out, actually, again.
I think that was actual recordings.
The only problem, I'm saying there was one, but they didn't see anything or any other aircraft on radar at that time. Then, after hanging out for a bit, the object left just as quickly as they had seemed to have come. And this part of the entire incident had taken roughly about 12 minutes. It's a long time to see something, but not a long time in the grand scope of things.
Brent, one question. Is it a possibility it was a speed buggy or two speed buggies?
There's always the possibility of speed buggy, but not right now.
What would it have sounded like when they left?
I don't know. I just don't know.
You're hurting my feelings. All right. Well, we've had a wild time in the skies over Alaska, but we're not done yet, kids. When we come back, a possible third UFO.
Three UFOs! Get the fuck out of here!
I know, it's nuts. And if there was a third UFO, how big was it? That's next on Hysteria 51.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. It, and,
yeah.
if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
John, we were talking about seeing two UFOs. The incident continues.
Well, technically, we were talking about Walmart. Let's be honest, but
everyone knows though that Walmart can't fly above 27,000 feet. That's their ceiling.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I did my research this week. Thank you.
Word to your moms, Brent came to drop bombs.
I got more rhymes than Walmart's got out of stock toilet paper orders. You're welcome.
It just flows nicely. All right, Brent, I think we should start with some facts.
Well, we should have, but here we are several minutes in, so well, let's get to them.
Let's at least give it a shot. The first incident or sighting was observed by all three crew members, or rather, I guess a better way to say it would be all three acknowledged observing unexplained lights behaving, I don't know, irrationally.
Right, right, right.
However, most of the quotes, most of the accounts actually come specifically from Captain K.
Yeah. Now, I almost call him Captain T because, you know, that's his last name, but you call him Captain K, we'll be fine.
I'm going to stick with Captain K. Once you commit, Brent, you just commit. and there's a reason for that, because once this whole thing's over, he actually talks to the media about it, which lands him in some hot water, which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Involving him manning a desk rather than a plane.
Yeah, like you said, and I think it kind of ties in, they did not like him talking about it openly. But he did end up flying again, It took some time, though. It took years before they'd let him.
But him talking to the media is one of the main reasons, I suppose, that we have the accounts that we have from him.
What if he was just a really horrible person to work with, and it had nothing to do with that, and everyone's just like, uh-huh, yep. Mm-hmm.
his superiors are like, we have no doubt. You saw UFOs. You probably saw aliens.
Right, right. He's just
but, man, drunk. You're a shithead.
He's just drunk flying all the... This is terrible. This guy, he's like, what did I ever do to you? I'm just saying options. There's always options.
Hey, you know what, Brent? Captain Sully, he is not.
That
USA. I'm sorry. I didn't even mean that.
Yeah, and Tom Hanks playing Captain Sully is not either, but that's beside the point. Yeah, so...
You do not want Tom Hanks captaining your ship of any type.
Look at me.
Or actually, look, you don't want him on your ship. I mean, let's think
I'm
about
the
this.
I'm captain now.
Well, yeah, that so Captain Phillips? Mm-hmm. Is that what that was called? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have Sully, and then you also have Castaway.
Yeah, right? He wasn't the captain, but he was on the ship.
And Apollo 13.
You just don't travel with him.
Yeah, and, you know, Joe versus the volcano. Shit happens when he goes on holiday or work vacations. Now, granted, he did go there to die, but he didn't even get that done. So, you know, oh, well. Back to the whole night in
and
question.
And then he goes to Australia and catches COVID-19.
That's the way it goes. Back to the whole night in question, though. The two objects have left their view, but then something else strange happens, as does seem to happen in most of our stories. A pale white light appeared behind the aircraft, and it silhouetted against lights on the ground, and it looked like this immense Saturn-shaped object, the size the captain estimated of either one, two, or four aircraft carriers.
The reason we say it like that is because if you read one article online, it'll say the size of one entire aircraft carrier. And then you read another account of the story, the size of two aircraft carriers. Yeah. And then I even found one that said the size of four aircraft carriers.
What had happened was it was behind him, and he couldn't really see it, and they were getting pings. This is when it did show up on radar, and they could see the reflection. So he had said he didn't know, but it was massive, and people, I think, have taken and ran with that. Whatever they want to say.
However, I do know.
You know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
That is true. That checks out. It's true. He thought that it was, and this is true, this is what he said, he thought it was a mothership that carried the two smaller objects themselves of no inconsequential size. He said those were large, large objects, and boom, they flew up into this. Now, here's the important part. The other two flight crew members did not see this object. He's the only one who says that he saw the mothership, quote unquote.
And equally of note, air traffic control didn't catch the object on radar either.
Yeah.
However, NORAD's Regional Operations Control Center did.
Yeah, so they called them up to see if they could find anything, and NORAD's like, what the fuck's behind you? That's a quote that I just made up. And he's like, I don't know, LOL, mothership. I think things might have got
and
lost.
And he said LOL.
Yeah, things got lost in translation. But
ROFL.
The important part of this story here, though, is military confirmation of something does add a lot of credence to something actually being there. And they have,
I see a bad moon rising.
And the 747 did some turning and maneuvering. And just like with the two smaller objects, the captain reported that the larger object followed in formation. Now, by maneuvering, they were instructed to do a complete 360-degree turn. He does the 360, and the thing followed so that they knew that it was actually tracking the plane, not just on a similar, incredibly dangerous course. And I say incredibly dangerous because the previous objects and then this object are very close, and at similar altitudes shouldn't be happening in the air.
Well, Brent, I have a little bit of information for you. I did a little bit of deeper research, probably deeper than you did. And that 360-degree turn was done twice. And then there was a, I don't know, let's call it a longer 360-degree turn. And then if you looked at the map of the flight plan, it looked like a big penis. Have you seen those memes? Like where just bored pilots and do shit like that?
Or the guys that like they turn on Run Tracker and go draw out a dick. Or a dinosaur, but for some reason, I assume that you look at the dick ones. So that's why I was saying that.
I do. Fight me.
I don't even know why. Anyway, Anchorage Air Traffic Control asked a nearby United Airlines flight to swing by because, you know, hey, you're in the area. Can you see if you can see anything?
Hey, you guys busy? Hey.
But they reported that the Japanese Airlines flight 1628 was there and they couldn't see any other aircraft in the vicinity. So then Air Traffic Control offered military intervention, meaning they said, hey, Captain, we'll call the military and I can call up. What he said is I can call up the military desk and ask them to scramble up something. He declined. And that's interesting to me. He said, no, thank you. What do you make of that?
So, okay, what do I think of that? Everywhere that I've researched, when they reference the decline of military intervention, it always references the same thing. They say that he knew or he was aware of the Mantell UFO incident in 1948. And it's like, that seems so anecdotal, but maybe he put that in a report somewhere or something. But
yeah, and that is, even if you watch the videos that are just playing the audio from, because they have the audio from the air traffic controllers and
right, the ATC side.
Yeah, you can even read a transcript on the Wikipedia. They'll put in parentheses because he knew of the 1948 incident, which is a telling thing because one thing we haven't gotten into, and we're going to get into this after the break, but he was very aware of UFOs, and this wasn't his first soiree.
It just seems like a stretch. So he saw something the size of Saturn, or what he perceived to be, or at least the shape of Saturn, all known to be UFOs, and he declined all military assistance because he knew of a 40-year-old UFO case? I mean, I know the plane got shot down in the Mantell thing, but still, it just doesn't track to me.
That's where I was going to go with that next is he thought, well, if I tell them what's going on and they're going to scramble jacks, they're going to kill me so that I keep this under wraps. That's a leap or not.
That's a big leap.
Or not if you truly believe that this is happening. And
no, it's a leap specifically because of the Beaujolais wine. We all know that Alaskans crave Beaujolais wine, and so they would never have shot that down.
Well, it's the only thing that keeps them warm in their igloos, because they all live in igloos, just like people in Canada, and they use walrus blubber to mix with the wine, and they drink it and before they go into what they call the Alaskan slumber, which is they sleep for 6 months of the year.
And if they get caught out in the cold, they actually sleep inside tom-toms.
Yeah, well, they say they smell worse on the inside than the outside, so that's interesting. Luckily, though, John, there was none of those flying in the sky.
So many jokes I want to make.
Nothing happened other than the visual and the radar contacts, and the plane arrived safely in Anchorage at 6:20 p.m. local time. The whole incident taking just over 30 minutes. So the first part was 12. The whole thing is only like a half hour.
And most of the time, this is the part where we go, oh, just kidding, then it crashed. No, they landed safely and really nothing else
right.
happened.
Well, things happen, but not in the air like that. Not
in the
with
air.
This
yeah.
flight. And it does get weirder, and it gets to the parts that I really like. My favorite part's coming up, because John's going to have to get off the call. That's coming up next. What, John? I think you're breaking up on Hysteria 51. Damn it.
Oh, looks like I have extra time. Oh, hold on.
This is one of my favorite words every time, not every time, but a lot of times when we come back after our second break, aftermath, because it's just a fun word.
It is. I agree. Now, in what context are you going to give it to
What's
us?
The aftermath? Use it in a sentence. I'm using the word aftermath in a sentence.
What's its language of origin? Well, I'm speaking English, aren't
Swahili,
I, you idiot?
You ass hat. To start, we're going to talk about the captain. Captain Tarashi. Believe, again, I'm sorry on his name, but this is a captain with 29
captain
years.
Captain K, I told you.
29 years of flying experience. And he referred to the object as a UFO in the official FAA report. Now, that is bad UFO just because of the stigma attached to it. And that is why the government has moved away from the term.
Let me go ahead and give the disclaimer that we've given about 375 times on this show. We don't even have that many episodes, but I'm going to give it anyway. UFO means unidentified flying object. So it was an object. It was flying, and it's not identified. It does not mean extraterrestrial. However, a vast majority of the world perceives that acronym to mean extraterrestrial. So
it's kind of a stigma that can follow words.
Exactly. You
know? And so this is a big thing. But a month later, he gave an interview to Kyoto News and was subsequently grounded, as we referred to earlier, to a desk job. As we mentioned, he was only reinstated as a pilot many years later.
I had to give him a spanking.
It took you many years to do so?
There's a couple things to go on with that, like we said.
Like, how do you spank somebody with a pincher?
True. I agree, that's weird. With a lot of gusto. The thing with him is, you said it's a different culture over there. And it can be perceived.
Are we talking about Japan or wherever Kyle's from?
Japan. It can be perceived as a little bit of a flippant thing, especially when they're talking, you know, respect's really big and things like that. And then you go on the record and go, yeah, I saw UFO. And they go, yeah, but the stigma. Yeah, I know. And he believed that it was from another world. He wasn't using as tongue in cheek. Oh, it was a UFO. I don't know what it was. He literally believed and has went on record saying he thought they were of another world.
Yeah, yeah, he was not shy about saying it.
Yeah.
These were, you might as well replace UFO with extraterrestrial here.
Now, I thought about this a lot, and before we did this, I reached out to two different airline pilots here in America, because I know things are different, and they're current commercial pilots, and I asked them about UFOs and how...
After you were wrestled off the flight? Right.
Well, you know, I had some time. They had to get the door open. Hey, I got a question.
They told you never reach out and touch our pilots again.
I did ask them, though, how they handle reports, and the reply was the same from both of them. They said there used to be a special code. If you saw something, you could say this, but it's something that's no longer in use. And one stated, here's a quote, "In all my training, there hasn't been any encouragement or discouragement about the topic." So that's one thing, but talking to the press is another story. And I know, just in working with the companies that I have before, you have to have media training just to talk to the press, or you could lose your job on the spot. And I'm sure something like that along those lines is in place in situations like this. John, what do you think? Isn't that been the case, you know, with places that you've worked at, if you need to talk to the media, that you had to have training or the okay?
Well, first I want to touch on, you mentioned there was a special code if you saw something.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to ask me. You want to know what it was?
I actually do know what it was.
What was it?
It's ATC. This is JAL Flight 1628. We have seen a fucking UFO. I believe that was the exact verbiage.
The term they used was Santa Claus. So I actually thought it might be...
which is almost as inane as what I just said.
We have a Santa Claus off of our 5 o'clock. And that was just the understood thing that they don't use anymore.
All right, but back to your question, what do I think? I think that, I mean, you're 100% right. No matter what company you work for, most of the time when you join companies, you sign your new employee packet. And there's enough verbiage in there to make Facebook's privacy policy look almost normal. And a lot of it is about, you know, can you sue? Do we, you know, if you do sue, do we go to arbitration?
That's the word. Kids, you don't want arbitration, because that means you get shit. Say it with me now. Right. No arbitration.
No arbitration. And also a lot of the verbiage in there has to do with how you would deal with the media, the general public, speaking on behalf of the company. That's why whenever you see public facing figures who work somewhere like, let's say I'm the chief marketing officer at some big tech firm and I'm on Twitter, the first thing you'll see under my Twitter, like byline or whatever you call it, is opinions my own, not of the company.
And then, you know, insert horribleness.
Yeah.
That seems to be how people use Twitter. But that's just my...
All Martians are Nazis. Yeah. Like, what?
What about the gray Martians? You go to hell! So, interestingly, though, going back to this, the news did get him to talk. This Kyoto News, they then reached out to the FAA, and they got their thoughts on the whole thing. And the FAA confirmed the incident, but we're not done yet. So, the Alaskan region of the FAA then consulted with the chief of the Accidents and Investigations Branch, a cat by the name of John Callahan, and he's a big name.
Who is definitely not Irish.
And his brother runs Callahan Auto Parts in Sandusky, Ohio, but that's a separate thing.
If I stick my head up a cow's ass... You gonna tell me the stakes? Well, I'm not even doing the quote right. I don't.
But... All right. What did he say? Is
I get a good look at
my stick my head up my a cow's ass, but I'd rather take the butcher's word for it.
Oh, that's such a good.
Yeah.
Movie.
So Callahan said he had no idea what they were talking about, and to send all relevant data to the command center in New Jersey. Also commenting, it was likely the flight of a stealth bomber. This is what he said. Right when the stuff happened, because he didn't really know what was going on. He was just like, it's probably a flight, stealth bomber. Send us what you got.
So they get the info, yeah, Brent.
Vice Admiral VA.
They have a meeting with a Vice Admiral, Vice Admiral Donald Engine.
Yeah, so he was briefed a day later on the incident.
And he, in this meeting, there's some cool shit that happened.
Yeah.
First, he told everyone in the meeting to keep quiet unless they were given permission to talk about it. Attending this said meeting were members of the FBI, the CIA, and President Reagan's scientific study team, among others.
Now, this meeting is on record, so we do know that it did happen and these things, because it is in the FAA's report.
That meeting was lit. We had pizza rolls and rainbow punch Kool-Aid mixed with bot booze.
Anyway,
that I believe, listen, for some reason. I believe the pizza rolls.
When the meeting finished, everyone in the room was told that the incident was secret and that the very meeting they were sitting in never took place.
You giggle, but I have to think that that's just added to the end of all meetings and all documents printed out at the CIA.
I just want to be in a meeting where whoever's leading the meeting goes, hey, just want y'all to know this meeting ever happened.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna parking lot this question, and I'll parking lot your asses if you tell anyone this meeting ever happened. Because everyone knows when things go to the parking lot.
I'm gonna parking lot this question, and I'm gonna abandon lot your ass if you ask questions.
Well, the parking lot's where things go to die, so I don't know.
Actually, you know what? I probably don't want to be in a meeting where I'm told it didn't happen, because man, whatever the subject matter was probably not something I wanted to be involved with.
Yeah, yeah. John and his touching tendencies. Finally, on March 5th of 87.
Wait, what?
Finally, on March 5th of 87, the FAA held a press conference to announce their quote-unquote findings. I love being able to say quote-unquote. They retracted the earlier FAA suggestions that it had, in fact, been a UFO. Instead, they basically said it was technical difficulty. To be specific, though, they called it a split radar image with just bad timing. So that's what,
in other words, in bad timing, meaning the split radar image happened right when Captain K happened to be seeing shit.
Yeah. They went on to say and here's a quote, the FAA did not have enough material to confirm that something was there, but they were accepting the descriptions by the crew. They just could not support those descriptions with proof.
Which is actually a little bit more generous than most of the reports that come out. Right.
Yeah, it definitely sounds fishy, though it is worth pointing out that this wasn't the captain, oh my captain, good captain's first UFO spotting while in the air, and that leads to some doubt of the veracity of the claims.
Right. So, and I, not casting aspersions and not making a judgment here, but this wasn't his first UFO sighting. Where and specifically calling them UFOs, as in his vernacular, extraterrestrial. So, unfortunately or unfortunately, that leads some folks to take it with a grain of salt.
I asked, I'm not going to say his name. I asked the one of the airline pilots, "Do you see stuff?" And he goes, "You see weird stuff all the time, but who knows what it is?" So take that for the grain of salt.
We both know him. He needs to stop drinking a little bit. And they're called clouds.
So enter fearless turd blossom, Philip J. Class. Oh, one of our heroes.
If you've listened to this show, you know how much we love Philip.
Yeah,
Class.
He's just the guy here. I want to prove you wrong. I want to prove this guy wrong. I'll pay you to lie.
And the worst part about it is, like, there have been incidents where Philip Class has made good points about how it was.
I mean, he's done really good research. He was just stuck in a, way of thinking that made him, just
it would force him to. He would fabricate stuff and say wrong things and be vile and repugnant in different ways. In order to further his own belief system.
Yeah, so there's this book called The UFO Invasion, and it's got lots of essays and articles and stuff, and he's quoted in there. And one of the things in there from him says, the FAA information reveals Tarashi to be a UFO repeater with two other UFO sightings prior to November 17th and two more this past January. Now, that past January is important because they were in the same airspace and he saw lights again, which normally raises a caution flag for experienced UFO investigators. The JAL pilot is convinced that UFOs are extraterrestrial, and when describing the lights, he often used the term spaceship or mothership. That is all true. He really did, and he believed that that's what they were. And as he said, the captain's made such claims previously. He does believe that they're from another world. And during his January 2nd interview with FAA officials, the captain said that he believed the quote unquote mothership intentionally positioned itself in the darkest or easterly side of the sky because, and here's a quote, I think they did not want to be seen. This enabled the UFO to see the 747 in front of the sunset and visible for the movements that they were making, but he and other people couldn't really see it because of the glints in where they were positioned. And in his report to the FAA, he expressed the hope that we humans will meet them in the new future. Not near future, new future.
I'm looking forward to the new future.
Well, I'm working on a time tangent now, time heist. And so we're going to have a lot of splintered new futures. So
can we whiteboard that?
Yeah, we can. You know what? I'll parking lot it.
All right. Thank you.
Those, even though they're brought up by Philip J. Class, they do raise good concerns. I think, though, John, the question for me at least becomes, do you think someone is less credible because they come forward with something? Why come forward if you know it will cause a shitstorm for you, too? It's kind of like a double-edged sword, but also why hide it? And who's hiding what or why? I mean, what do you think about that?
I definitely don't think you're less credible because you come forward with something. That's like a logical fallacy. However, if you asked me a different question, if you said, are you less credible if this is the fourth time you've come forward with something that hasn't been proven? I say yes. I say that I think it's human condition, just the way we're built to offer, it's like the boy who cried wolf, to offer less credibility to something that you've said has happened before that was never proven, and now you're saying it happened again. I think there's a certain amount of legitimacy to that. I do.
Another thing to remember in this, and this comes from the UFO skeptic Robert Schaefer. He said the bottom line is Tarashi's own flight crew only saw lights, and the other aircraft checking out the situation saw nothing unusual. So, I mean, they did see something, but he's forgetting the point of NORAD pinged it on radar. There are other, we're going to get into a little bit more because they're saying that this is all being covered up and they're leaving, oh, Captain, my Captain, as the scapegoat. Because remember John Callahan of the FAA? He was a big name.
That's Irish John Callahan.
So he was like three desks away from the head of the FAA. He was one of the heads of the FAA.
I don't know if you knew this or not, but he was a police chief in Detroit before he took on the FAA.
Right. He worked with a guy named
Murphy. It is Captain Callahan.
He worked with a guy named Murphy.
You just blew up half of a damn city block.
This is coming out of your paycheck, McClonsky. They all have names.
What kind of operation you think I'm running here, boy?
So he talked about the meeting with the CIA, the FBI, the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and everyone that was in that fucking cabal secret meeting. Here's a quote, though. And remember, like I said, he was the FAA chief of accidents and investigations. And this is from a videotaped interview for the disclosure program who talked to him about this specific incident. Here's a quote. This was one of the guys from the CIA, okay, that they were never there and this never happened. At the time I said, well, I don't know. Why are you saying this? I mean, there was something there. And if it's not the stealth bomber, then you know it's a UFO. And if it's a UFO, why wouldn't you want the people to know? Oh, they got all excited over that. You don't even want to say those words. He said this is the first time they ever had 30 minutes of radar data on a UFO. and they're all itching to get their hands onto the data and to find out what it is and what really goes on. He says if they come out and told the American public that they ran into a UFO out there, it would cause panic across the country. So therefore, you can't talk about it, and they are going to take all the data.
Hold on. Can I pause you there 1 second? Yeah. He's already kind of not done a great job representing the event because they didn't have 30 minutes of UFO
well,
data.
Well, I'll get into that in a minute. He went on to say the only ones that see a UFO in the TV programs are the rednecks out in the country that are going coon hunting or alligator hunting at night. You don't find anyone with any kind of smarts or some professional individual saying, hey, last night, let me tell you about what I saw. They don't display that in the United States. So if you talk about seeing a UFO, you're putting yourself in a funny kind of category. That's probably one of the reasons why you don't hear about it anymore. But as far as I'm concerned, I saw a UFO chase a Japanese 747 across the sky for over half an hour on radar, and it's faster than anything that I know in our government. What did he see? Well, he says that there is weather radar in the nose cone of the 747 and on their other radar, and it pinged it the entire time. He could see it. He watched it. They saw it in the meeting, and it was confiscated and told it doesn't exist. And that is what he said. So what did he see? Like I said, he said, this is another quote, the UFO was bouncing around the 747. It was a huge ball with lights running around it. This is from the video that they got of it. Well, I've been involved in a lot of cover-ups with the FAA. When we gave the presentation to the Reagan staff, they had all those people swear that this never happened. But they never had me swear it never happened. I can tell you that I've seen with my own eyes. I've got a videotape. I've got the voice tape. I've got the reports that were filed that will confirm what I've been telling you.
This whole fucking thing.
That's a lot coming out from a high-up FAA official who is over in accidents and investigations saying, holy shit, man, it was a UFO and the government told me not to talk about it.
I mean, especially as a former Detroit police chief, the fact that he'd come out
for
and say
real
that
though, that's a heavy thing, and he's saying that he saw it. It gives us more.
Well, he's saying
he said he saw
the radar, images,
and
yeah,
the videotapes, yeah, of the radar images and things like that. You know, they kind of paint a picture, kind of like your Tic Tac video, exactly like that. You know, what really happened up there? What do you think, John?
I don't doubt he saw it. I actually don't doubt Captain K. I think they did see something strange that that fateful 80s evening. However, if you're asking for my opinion, which I'll give, I really think I'm going classic here. I'm going classified aircraft that no one was allowed to know about.
That might be, you know, you see something. I have no reason to doubt the captain for the reasons that they said. I also have no reason to doubt this FAA, you know, higher up. And it does smell to me like, if it was some sort of secret aircraft, that would be something that they would say, oh, it's a UFO, don't say anything, because it casts aspersions and doubt. That's the perfect cover-up, because as soon as you say it, people dismiss you. And that's not to say it's not. I'm just saying, like, if it was, good on the government for doing that, smart one. And if it wasn't, good on Callahan and the captain for coming forward and sticking with their guns and saying, no, fuck you. And we know at least what, as far as we can understand, we saw.
So we're both in agreement. Oh, yeah. that we think Captain K saw something, that we think that former police chief Callahan saw the radar and there really was something there. So
this is
all
the shit that people hear and then they go, these motherfuckers don't even understand. They're calling him a police chief. He was never in the police. And these are the fucking sound bites that I got to defend us on all the time.
Oh, but that's why they love us.
And that is not, so here's, I promise. But those are the fun parts. That's why I love us. So keep going.
Well, you know, I mean, hey, listen, if you don't like that, there's Gaia. So enjoy. My point is this. The question then becomes, what was it, right? Was it a classified U.S. aircraft or classified, gosh, even Russian aircraft or something? Or was it something a bit more extraterrestrial? And this just goes back to my inherent belief that if E.T. has been here, they don't just fly around and kind of fuck with planes. I just don't think they do that. That's my inherent belief. I understand and respect folks that disagree with me. So when things like this, these type of sightings happen, I tend to, I'm not a disbeliever in the sighting of it itself. I just tend to go more towards more terrestrial.
Meanwhile, there's a dolphin out in the middle of the fucking ocean right now going, I swear to God, I was swimming. This thing got in the water, arms instead of flippers, had some sort of breathing apparatus, swam with me, just interacted with me while I was swimming, and was gone into this mothership above me, out of the water. Yeah, right, Frank. You're what, you know, however they talk. Yeah, right. Why would they just interact with us? That makes no fucking sense.
Are you like staring at like a Lisa Frank?
Or, you know, goodbye and thanks so long and thanks for all the fish. Which is probably, you know, the pollution's so low that the dolphins are returning to space right now.
We are the virus.
Hashtag. Yeah, you know, this is a fun one, and you can go any way you want on this one because choose your own adventure. I think it's an interesting one. Could it have been aliens? Yeah.
Well, Brent, you haven't given us your official belief.
It was interdimensional
yet.
Travelers blinking into our existence. There you go.
No, you idiot. It was just a flying polar bear.
That makes sense to me, actually. If you think about their location.
He nailed it. You know, he nailed it.
Bigger than a Walmart, obviously.
It's true.
Yeah. Though, again, polar bears usually are never seen flying over 30,000 feet. And most of this happened above 30,000 feet.
Well, that's a valid point. But counterpoint, polar bears are huge fans of Beaujolais wine.
That is true, too. That is true. Well, since the late 70s, and this was in the mid 80s. So, yeah, that checks out.
Yep. Well, we saw it.
What do you guys think? How can they tell us, Jonathan?
Hop on Hysteria Nation. That is our Facebook discussion group. Just go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Or you go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That is our Facebook page. Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. You can find t-shirts and stickers and hand drawing pictures of the Loch Ness Monster and all sorts of goodies, posters, pins,
and
host your own show. You cannot smell John Goforth anymore.
You cannot
smell him any less if you're in this vicinity either. So it's kind of
okay. Stop. We're all social distancing. By the way, huge shout out Hysteria Nation member Marie Vincent. Thank you for your interpretation of this idiot conspiracy bot.
I look nothing like that. I am way sexier.
I mean, what exactly was wrong about it, C-Bot?
Well, first of all, everyone knows my hanger is in the second slot, and my hang low is way bigger.
Okay, number one, no, that's not true. And number two, you're just trying to be offensive.
I think we are just ashamed
Marie,
of him.
Marie, period, thank you.
Period.
We're ashamed of the robot, but we love you. So
yeah,
no,
it was truly awesome. If you want to know what we're talking about, hop on Hysteria Nation. And if you want to email us, info@hysteria51.com, leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277.
The reason for that email address, Brent's Christian name is Info.
It's true.
Hand.
It's pronounced Info. But a lot of people can't say it, so
louder. You didn't even pronounce it differently. You just said it louder.
You perceived it that way because you can't understand my tongue. As in dialect. It's okay to be a lesser being.
I don't want to understand your
tongue. Tell a friend about the show. That's another thing we want to ask you to do. Help us grow as a nation and jump your butts into Hysteria Nation. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand shine.